Sky Blue Stories is recorded at the Heels Podcast Studio inside the Bella Vista Hotel.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, excited.
Thank you so much. And thanks for saying I'm your favorite player.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for having me on. Hey, guys. How are you going?
No problems at all, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. It's a nice introduction.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
A good laugh, a good chat. So I enjoyed it. Thanks, boys.
Arrow Sports sponsors Sky Blue Stories, and if you have found it hard or it's been hard to find your perfect sports jerseys, never mind. Head to www.arrowsport.com.au. From football to basketball, netball to rugby, Arrow Sport has you covered. Right now on Instagram, catch their latest designs and prototypes at @arrow_sportau. Melbourne City 6, Melbourne Victory 0. We'll also talk about Sydney FC tonight. Hello, welcome to Sky Blue Stories. You've got Sean Maloney and Jonathan Finger tonight. Sean.
What a way to start.
I thought it was a pretty good way to start. I don't know if there was any other football played in the last week.
Wow.
But that's satisfying.
And at the shithole. Well, adjacent shithole.
It was. But in all seriousness, thanks for tuning in again this week. We are one team member down tonight. Shout out to our good friend James. Sean, do you know what he's up to tonight?
I don't know. Just chilling, I think. Reminiscing on Tottenham's win, I think.
I mean, it was only Crystal Palace.
Yeah, he made a funny joke on Twitter, at least tried to, saying...
he tries hard.
Something about destroying Palace before Megan and Harry destroys Palace.
Ooh.
The Palace. So, okay. Which I think is called The Firm now. Thank you, Megan.
It's quite witty.
Yeah.
It is quite witty.
I think he got one like. I think it was just Kevin.
It was a terrible weekend results-wise for Sydney FC, Sean. 0 points out of a possible 9. Which we haven't been used to lately. The young boys NPL went down 5-2. On the weekend to Sydney United, which we'll go through shortly. The W League had, I think, just their second loss of the season to Adelaide United in a little bit of an upset, 2-0. And obviously the A-League boys, despite me picking the score on the pod last week, bringing no satisfaction to the actual result of 1-1.
I felt very unsatisfied, just like my love life.
Well, it's, you know, there are parallels. Story of my life. There are parallels there, Sean. So we'll talk about all of those and more coming up. Thanks once again for all of your interactions, especially on our poll last week, Sean. Sky Blue Undies, over 100 votes.
I don't want to encourage James, despite the 100 votes. I was surprised how many people voted.
That's true.
And surprised how few people actually wear underwear the color to reflect who they support and so on. So,
well, you were the odd one out, weren't you?
I try and wear my Sky. The whole sorry to paint a picture, everyone.
Well, don't be too detailed.
This will be extra on our Patreon and my OnlyFans. Just the blue band, and then when I play for my wonderful Enfield Rovers, I try and wear my green band undies. You know, just a
picturing.
I'm a little bit superstitious.
I'm picturing bands, and it's not.
Not a mankini.
It's not good. It's not good. But there was, I think it was something like 70-30, Sean. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. But again, I don't want to justify James in his flippant spur of the moment tweets.
We won't.
Need to wrangle back. You need to change the password.
We'll put the Bob Ross images to rest. But thanks for everyone's interaction. I think it was Craig that sent us a pair of Sydney FC budgie smugglers, which were fantastic.
Well, if you can buy a rangefinder, Jonathan, or, you know, don't want to go too... I think you can...
Do you know what? The rangefinder was almost as much as the budgie smugglers.
Well, I think...
If you'd believe it.
It is your birthday this weekend, so watch out.
It is. I'm terrified. I'm terrified of what's to come. Sean, take us around the grounds. What caught your eye this week?
Let's head around the grounds socials. And the... Unfortunate, but ever so wonderful, Chrissy Sevilla, indeed, as Ryan McGowan put it, has taken home the bacon. The proud owner.
Taking home the Hannah.
Taking home, yes. The brand spanking new PS5. There was a bit of a raffle inside the change rooms during the week. And I hope there are some games to go with it. That's the other thing I'm thinking. It's all well and good to get the PS5, but I know there's two versions of it in terms of one with the disc tray, like old school, like we grew up with. We grew up with cartridges, with the old Mega Drive and the like. But you can go to the PS5 store. At the very least, yeah. So well done, Chris. You know, dare to say he's got a bit of spare time up his sleeve, sadly, and he can crack that open. And
thanks to Gowser for sharing that, Ryan McGowan, because that's heartful stuff.
He needs a win, Chrissy. Really and cool. He can jump online and play some COD with Braddon and Retro. I follow Braddon's Instagram story, it's either him hitting a golf ball, him hanging out with his daughter, or playing Call of Duty with Retro and the like.
And then football in between.
Yeah. That was wonderful. And the other thing, I won't mention it too much, but, you know, don't like to give any kind of props to the SBS World Game, as last or the week before when Teresa Polias wasn't there for work commitments, which is a very rare thing to see in any sporting tier of professional football, professional sport, and just another reminder of the struggles that women's football have in terms of literally juggling full-time, part-time work and playing professional football, and something needs to change, and hopefully we see something change definitely by, I think it'll be, well, sooner rather than later, but definitely by the 2023 World Cup.
This was the piece on Nat Tobin, is that right?
The Nat Tobin, working as a physio for, sorry, no, an OT. It was dropping down to 4 days a week, and, you know, we had Lizzie Ralston on the pod not too long ago, and, you know, she's a full-time physiotherapist, and I know the likes of Ange and the younger girls would be going through university and, you know, studying as well. So I take my hat off to them, how they can literally juggle, you know, studies, work, professional footballing career.
Yeah.
And dare say, you know, it was relationships.
Like you said, Sean, we've been very critical of the World Game recently, but John Baldock did that piece, and I thought it was very, very professionally done. You know, it wasn't too attention headline grabbing. It was just the facts. Like, this is life. This is a reality. This is life for Nat. And Nat, as you know, I'm a sucker for Nat Tobin. I think she's brilliant. So it was really nice to see her getting in the spotlight and sharing, you know, an insight into her life for us.
So they need a longer competition, an actual genuine away and home fixtures, and dare say even expand that league. And they need the money. Also, in other news, as I was going through the Twitter sphere, Jonathan, Joey Lynch, and it was something I think I had ready to put up on the run sheet last week, but I don't know, just fell by the wayside. Once again, Max Burgess's name rises from the ashes like a phoenix.
Like a Wellington phoenix?
Like a Wellington, So Max Burgess has likely played his last game for Western United, with the club granting his request to return home to Sydney. Western United CEO Chris, long last name, too many syllables, has told ESPN Australia New Zealand, however, that he is more than welcome to come back at any time. Jonathan, you've got sources.
Oh, please. Mustard?
What have you...
Is mustard a sauce?
What have you heard? Is there any
All I've heard on the grapevine, Sean, is that him to Western Sydney is not a done deal. So,
but it's not.
He hasn't decided 100% where he's going yet. I think a lot of people are assuming that he'd go to Western Sydney.
Okay. How they could afford him after all the
done,
players they've bought and brought in. Certainly got enough forwards at the moment, don't they?
You'd think they'd have to shed a couple.
Yeah.
I still think they have to shed a couple.
Which they did. They shafted those academy players.
Well, they did.
Mo Adam, to name one.
Yeah. Too busy to play football, neck minute,
signs with Olympic on the bench for them on the weekend. Would we want him? Or am I only thinking that and saying that as a knee-jerk reaction to how we're playing at the moment?
I was in the no, we don't need him camp at the start of the year, or when this first surfaced, probably after one or two games. But, yeah, look, I think I'd take him if he could fit in the cap. I wouldn't really want him to displace too many, but he had something different. If he can replicate what he did last year for the Green and Blacks – Yeah.
The back end of the season, he was really killing it. Well, the second half of the season, he was just
on fire. The thing is, and we'll get onto this a bit later when we talk about the A-League game, Sean, but we're creating the chances. We're just not finishing.
And so, he's a creative player. Mm. He's got a goal too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Who in the current squad would you say he's most similar to?
Probably a Caceres.
I was thinking this.
Except he's probably got a bit more of an eye for goal than AC.
Mm.
But in terms of like footwork, positioning, movement, I'd say probably AC is probably most like, yeah.
And then a bit of a shade of Ninko ABJ-ish in there. So I kind of feel like we're kind of tripling up on similar players. And
my only thought in the comments from Chris, is it Pelavanis, Sean?
Oh.
Greek fella.
Well said, Jonathan.
Western United CEO. The only thing there is that, you know, that he's more than welcome to come back at any time. So he hasn't actually been granted a release. He's just not in Melbourne. His request to return home to Sydney has been granted. So he's still a contracted player at Western United as far as we can tell. So my only thought then would be, are we looking to next year for him to actually pop up at another club?
Is it mental health? Is it he's missing home, he's homesick?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Not sure. Not sure about that. But, because he was flying down there. Mm. So unless he's not getting on with someone, which is possible. Would I take him right now? Yeah, I think I would. What about yourself?
I wouldn't say no. I think he's a dynamic player and he adds something different coming off the bench. I'll mention it later, but that's what I've kind of felt with brought on the two strikers off the bench in the last few games, and that has helped, thanks to Bobo in the last game. But sometimes, and we might see Ivanovic this weekend or tonight, if you're listening to this. Yeah, we're missing somebody else on the bench.
Of an attacking option.
Yeah. He's got something about him, Max, and he's just, watching him in that last season with Olympic when they won it, I think that would have been 2017, 2018. He's just grown an extra leg. He's been brilliant. Get better, Max, I guess. And who knows, we might see you in different colours in the coming days, weeks and months.
That's right.
And the other thing, the wonderful, and he needs a prize at the moment because they're not travelling too well. Alex Cullum received his prize exclusively to Listeners Week announce. A little thing on Alex is that thank you, Alex, and congratulations again for being the Funko Pop Bratz Luke Braddon winner, and for tagging and doing Instagram stories and photos and whatnot, and Instagram too for that matter. So that was absolutely fantastic to see that jump up on the social media and exclusively, Jonathan.
Just to listeners, Sean.
Yeah.
Just to listeners.
What can we announce? Pod.
Oh, well, I'll take it then. For those following the story of the Funko Pops, there was quite a lot of interaction online, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere, sort of saying, how did you get these made? Where did you get them made? Can I have one? I want 18, etc. So I guess for our listeners here to this pod, we actually got three in total made, Sean, as you know. Two of them were of Mr. Bratton. We gave one to Luke when we went and saw him, and in return we asked him to sign the one that Alex has now won and won well, all for the Leukemia Foundation. The third one that we got made was just for a bit of fun initially, but it's of the one and only Alex Brosk. So I personally wasn't too happy with how it turned out.
Don't say that.
The beard was lacking a little. The beard was lacking a little.
Could have been a bit tanner too.
But the man himself, Broski himself, after seeing it, actually didn't. He said it's not too bad. He said it's actually pretty good. So what we decided to do with that is have Alex sign that as well, which is in progress.
Not Alex Cullum.
Alex Brosk.
Yep. Okay. Good.
Sign that as well, and we've given it to the next highest bidder who hadn't already donated a significant amount, which was the one and only Ross Anderson. So Roscoe is going to contribute $255 to the Leukemia Foundation, and we're going to give Ross the Alex Brosk signed Funko Pop. So
thanks, Ross.
Thank you. Roscoe. Thanks, Ross. Thanks, Broski. And that gets us up to a total between Alex Cullum and Ross of $856, Sean. Now, you're a teacher.
I like to round up.
I like we like to round things up. So between the three of us on the Sky Blue Stories pod, we're going to make up the difference there and make it a nice even $1,000 by donating an additional $144 to the Leukemia Foundation. So there, that brings that fundraiser to a close.
Beautiful, and all done for a very good cause. And I'm excited about what we could potentially do next year.
Well, very true, very true. But no, thanks for everyone for getting involved.
And a little bit of club and squad business. I'll start off with the bad news and finish off with the good news. The bad news is, devastatingly, Ellie Brush. Jonathan, you've been wanting to find out what has happened to Ellie a couple of games ago, and sadly she's ruptured her ACL.
Yeah.
Three letters you don't want to hear in that order, and is out for the season. And I dare say we'll interrupt her next season because of the time of the year that's happened. Devastating, one of the great centre-backs, very consistent for us this season. And to do that with the finals on the horizon.
Yeah, she's just come back from another injury too.
Yeah, and look, we can still win it and still do incredibly well without her. It's you know, Charlotte McLean would jump in there with Nat Tobe, and it's kind of interesting. We've got two, kind of reminiscent of Liverpool at the moment, where we've got two players jumping in at centre back with Charlotte McLean and Nat Tobe, who aren't out and out centre backs, but they'll do a job and then some. We're very confident with that. So wishing Ellie all the very best with her recovery. Someone give her a PS5.
Yeah,
and
good call.
And speedy recovery, Ellie.
Good call. Like I said, the only blessing in disguise, I guess, for the girls is that Ellie hasn't played a hell of a lot with those couple of injuries that she's had. It's been an interrupted season for her. But again, there was rumours that she was going to hang the boots up at the end of last season, and for her to come back has been brilliant. But yeah, wishing Ellie all the best, and let's hope that you know, she comes back for another season in Sky Blue.
And the big dog, Ryan Grant, playing his 200th A-League game tonight, if you're listening to it this tomorrow, against Western United. Just to think how many games he'd have up his sleeve if he hadn't ruptured all those ACLs, pardon the segue. But you couldn't get a better servant of the club and of the league as well than Ryan Grant.
Absolutely. 200 A-League games. I think I loved his presser that he had during the week, Sean. He came out and said, you know, he'd love to be up near Broski. He's got no plans of leaving the club. So a little bit different to his last interview that he did who was it? It might have been Garby. I can't remember. Sort of hinting that, maybe, you know, if the offer came along, he'd like to play overseas. I guess the interview this week made it sound like he wasn't going anywhere anytime soon. Mm. So it's great news for Ryan Grant. The other bit of club news, Sean, that I wanted to just quickly mention was about Mr. Zullo. Now, Joel King had a wonderful assist on the weekend, but I think, again, we'll talk about this in a bit. Found out a little bit by Riku Danzaki. That you brought up to me a couple of times, Sean. We've been talking, we've sort of been saying that maybe Jolza needs a little bit of rest, and it'd be good to have at least have the option of Zulz coming in. So where is Michael Zullo, Sean?
Well, you know, we were there about a month ago now at training over there at Rideway, near Macquarie University, and I thought he was about a week or two away at that stage. I do look at the ins and the outs each week posted by the club and the other people, like, you know, All Sides of the Harbour. Jamie will post them as well, a little bit of commentary on them. Trent Bahagia as well. Seems like he's been a week away for a few weeks now. And
I've done a bit of research.
Done your maths.
So Michael Zullo has been listed as calf 1 week since January the 29th, Sean.
So I do my maths. About 5 weeks.
Five
weeks.
Yeah, 5 or 6 weeks.
And you got a bit of details on Trent as well, don't you, then?
Trent was listed as 2 weeks on the same date, I believe, or the week after. So he's not quite as bad. But to be listed as 1 week for more than a month is a bit, I don't know, is it lazy? Are they just not updating? Did they get it wrong the first time? And
are
not
they re-injuring it during the week? Or
it just seems odd.
I'd understand them being put in the squad and being an in and then coming out.
That's right.
you know, prior to the game. But
I'd just be interested to know. But it could be just laziness.
Mm.
You know, one week. You'd hate to think that he doesn't quite, you know, he isn't quite getting there every week and then hurting himself.
Something chronic.
So hopefully, yeah, exactly. So hopefully Zullo not too far away.
Mm. Well, it's that time again, Jonathan. We missed it last week. There was a void.
Back.
Let's go do this.
Yes, it's your favourite segment and mine. It's a trip down Middleby Lane. We look through the Sky Blue week that was in history. And Sean, this is actually wasn't in the last week. This was the week before, but we had a special guest last week, so we didn't do a Middleby Lane. Our inaugural grand final was, you know, the 5th of March. So that's sort of in the last week, 2006.
Pretty big deal.
15 years ago.
Pretty big deal.
You're our socials man. I didn't see anything.
Saw nothing. Zip, zilch.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Just me?
No, nothing. Not just you, not this time. No, okay. Absolutely nothing done by the club. It would have been cool to, it might have pumped up some of the fans and go, geez, 15 years ago in a grand final, you know, if our form at the moment.
Feel good moment.
Yeah. Corica putting away the goal and, you know, coincidentally he's our coach at the moment.
Well, give him some props with those Corica out people.
Yeah.
Sean. it was strange because I went back and I'm like, hang on, no, there's nothing there. So strange. So 15 years ago, Sean, we've spoken about this a few times on the pod, but we're both there in the nearly 40 degree heat.
Yeah. I remember what I was wearing.
Down the far end. Unfortunately, we could only get a ticket down the far end.
In the sun. Thanks, Steve. But no, we've got the parking there in the Fox Studios parking lot. I remember that. Right.
I had a diabetic hypo. It was good times. Good times.
But standard classic Jonathan.
Yeah, pretty much. Incredible moment 15 years ago, the inaugural A-League competition. This week in Sky Blue history as well, Sean, Stuart Mishalik signed with Sydney FC. He ended up making 75 appearances across three seasons, including that double winning season in 09-10. I thought extremely underrated player. We don't speak about him a lot on the podcast, but at the time he was in the Olyroos. The unfortunate story for Stuart is that after playing for us and being so successful, he didn't play another game of professional football after leaving us in 2011, Sean. So,
do you know what's happened to him?
He had some mental health issues at the time. He went down and played some. He actually signed for the Mariners, I think, but didn't get on the pitch with them. A couple of injuries, a couple of issues off field. Ended up playing a little bit of NPL in the Northern New South Wales comp. Just at the age of just 25, didn't play again. And like I said, had something like 18 Olyroos caps, played at the Joeys, was on the course for some great heights, and I think that 09-10 was the highlight for him. Definitely an underrated midfielder for us.
What could have been?
So that was 13 years ago we signed him to a 3-year deal. So also 13 years ago, former Socceroo and FFA Hall of Famer Steve O'Connor joined Sydney to take on the inaugural National Youth League team, Sean. Of course, we know the history that we went on to win that. So Steve O'Connor, or Sock, was actually the AIS head coach during a lot of the Golden Generation, and a lot of Sydney FC Golden Generation, actually, including Simon Colosimo, Brett Emerton, Stuart Mishalik, as we mentioned, Broski, Luke Wilkshire came through, James's favourite, Topple Stanley, and Ryan Grant. So there's, you know, responsible for many of our senior players over the years. Last time I checked, I think Steve O'Connor was at Wollongong taking the under-20s, but I haven't seen it. I couldn't find where he was right now. But like I said, back then, 2008, bringing in someone with his credentials, again, shows the pull that our club has. So, yeah, it was just something nice to remember. And finally, Sean, 7 years ago, 2014, Sydney would come back from a 1-0 deficit against the Wanderers, Shinji Ono scoring a goal in front of over 40,000 people to win 3-1 in a Sydney derby at Allianz. And goals to German Richard Garcia and a 93rd minute Aliabas penalty. Aliabas. So that's some feel-good memories for mm-hmm. you. Happy birthdays this week to former, unfortunately, Wanderers player as well, Michael Beauchamp. Savet Uzunla, who we spoke about in last week's pod, I think, Sean, or possibly the week before, about captaining W yep. League team.
One of nine.
Bratz was yesterday, turning 31. Lucas Neal, birthday this week as well. And then we've got some youngsters in Levi Kay, Tom Heward-Bell, both goalies, and Anton Milanovic, who's just gone overseas.
Just some babies.
Just turns 19. So, yeah. Interesting times, but that, Sean, was a trip down Middleby Lane.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Look, let's get to some actual, like, genuine, bona fide football, kicking the ball around. Let's kick off with the W League with the ladies playing off against Adelaide United last week. It was a disappointing 2-0 loss away to Adelaide. Coulda, shoulda, possibly wrapped up the Premier's plate. But, mm-hmm. as you pointed out, mm-hmm. Jonathan, glass half full, silver lining. Brisbane lost as well. So, fantastic. And they got, would you say, 4-1? That's a belting. That's been pummeled. That's been smashed.
Yeah.
4-1 by Canberra. I kind of reckon with our loss and theirs, us and them, we've kind of wrapped up first and second place.
One less game, isn't
yeah.
it?
And whereas Canberra, Adelaide, Victory, and maybe Wanderers to a lesser degree are all battling for those third and fourth spots. Yeah. So maybe there's a bit of that coming into it.
Look, Canberra finding a little bit of form there. Played some pretty, saw the highlights of it. Good counter-attacking football, Sean.
Not just pass it to Michelle Heyman and just hope
No, I think she only got one of the four.
Pretty poor
effort, Michelle. Yeah, they did very well. Shout-out to Michelle Heyman, equaling Sam Kerr's all-time W League scoring record, as an aside. But, yeah, I think you're right, Sean. I think the big telling point will be Friday night. I think there's Thursday night football, and then there is two games on Friday. Mm-hmm. One of those games is Brisbane versus Adelaide, which is second versus third.
Go Adelaide?
If that's a draw, we get the Premier's play.
Okay.
So we're going for the draw.
Okay.
If either side wins, then they could still overtake us if we don't get another one. So It's coming to a close. We'll see. Adelaide slightly weakened now. I think their captain Dylan Holmes has got scored a trip overseas, so that's not ideal for them. They're looking to make the finals for the very first time.
That's something I heard, that they've won more games this season. They've won more games than any other year they've been in the W League.
Yeah. And it's not, like you said, Sean, it's not quite there. There are five teams battling out for that that top four, and someone's going to miss out. So it'll be very interesting. By this time next week, we could be premiers. So I don't want to put the mock on it, but we don't play ourselves, Sean. So yeah, we'll see.
Our two last games are tough ones at that.
Yeah.
But in typical fashion, with no Ellie Brush and of course no Lizzie Steele, Sean McLean and Nat were in the middle. But the only other notable change was Rachel Lowe starting as opposed to your Taylor, McKenzie, Teresa, Claire kind of mix.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the game, I dare say, taking my sky blue glasses off, Adelaide United probably could have, should have been up another goal or two to the good. They were pretty much dominating the game from, left to right. Maybe they had more to play than us. Maybe a little bit of that mentality came into it.
Yeah.
But I just kind of felt the girls kind of lacked a bit of structure, a bit of cohesion.
Not many opportunities for organization. For Courtney and Remy.
Yeah, Courtney was a quiet game, Princess and Remy as well. I found that Ali Green, especially Ange, who I'm a huge favourite of, got found out a lot.
Okay, down the flanks.
Very much so, just kind of that beat one-on-one, maybe playing up a bit too high, but another thing I've just written here, because I was looking at the stats as well from the game as well, watching back the highlights, barely a threatening goal. Uncharacteristic of us when we've probably got the best front three of the entire comp. So
coming off six goals against Perth too.
Yeah. maybe just a little blip, maybe a nice little reminder to the girls, like the Brisbane game was about a month ago now, just to kind of, you know, go back to the drawing board, tweak those little things, fill in those little gaps. And we've got a bye next week.
Yep.
Or this week. And then they've got Victory, then Canberra.
Okay.
One home, one away game. So the Victory game's a doubleheader, Big Blue.
Yep.
And then Canberra. And as we mentioned just moments ago, those two teams have something to play for.
Yeah. Look, one win out of those games will get us the Premier, that elusive Premier's plate. Sean, and let's hope it comes in that first game against the Victory. So both, as you said, both those sides, fourth and fifth at the moment, so battling for that that final spot. But look, I don't – would you say we were complacent against Adelaide?
Just kind of maybe complacent, lack that intensity.
Yeah.
Maybe their minds on other things, like, oh, bye, that'd be nice, have the week off, and then, you know, tackle those last two games. But, yeah, uncharacteristic by the girls, but I expect them to go back to the drawing board over the next week and a half, and then tackle Victory in the Big Blue.
Tell you what, I'm a bit worried about Lisa Devanna and that other team, but we'll see.
Just turning back the clock. Age shall not weary her.
That's right, exactly. All right, what's next on the what are we doing
NPL,
next?
Jonathan.
NPL.
So the boys headed over to Adenza Park, one of my favourite grounds. I don't know if they got a Chavafi before or after full time. But
crowd, actually.
You know, United being the champions, the reigning premiers. The boys lost 5-2. Got a little bit of a spanking. 3-1 at half time. The game actually ballooned out to 5-1. We actually scored the first and last goals of the game. Ivanovic, remember him? he scored the first goal of the game. A little bit fortunate falling to him, but he still had to be good enough to put it away.
Yeah.
And then Saraceno, towards the end in the 68th minute, got the boys' last goal.
Yeah.
Look, watching the game... well, when you come up against City United, being the reigning premiers,
they're absolutely stacked.
Yeah, they got and tell me
they're absolutely stacked. I think I counted. I think from their starting 11, they had, I think, 8 players or 7 players with A-League experience, Sean, and then another couple on the bench, or the other players in the starting lineup had academy experience. You know, with A-League clubs, like on Andreas Agamemnos, who was a former Sydney FC youth player. So, yeah, it
like
was
if
always
you're other clubs, just do what Mariners have done and just, you know, drawn upon that local NPL talent and the like.
Exactly.
And then get Stadge as a coach.
Before we talk about our boys a bit, did you see the last goal Chris Payne scored?
Yeah.
Pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah, Chris Payne, another former Sky Blue, doing good and exceptional operator at that NPL level. I don't know if he deserves another chance. There are a lot of quite good strikers in the NPL going around, but you know, if Charlie Lockerlingoy keeps getting chances, you'd think Chris Payne would get one.
Tell
as
well.
Me, or Pat and Tell Me, who didn't get much of a go with Perth, was it that they signed on a short term deal? But some good signs from the lineup, Sean. A couple of changes from our opening day. Pavlesic was back in goal.
He was,
which was good to see. Pat Flotman got a full game, I believe, under his belt. As you said, Ivanovic and Kucharski started. Kucharski's such a footballer. I mean, if we're looking for, you know, an injection of youth, Sean, just put him in the A-League squad, please.
Is he is he the same age as Jake Holman? Are they pretty much?
Yes,
I feel like Jake.
I believe
Yeah. Put Kucharski on the bench, a little bit injection last 10-15 minutes
Chuck
or something.
Him in. He's got it. He definitely has it.
Yeah.
The other exciting thing, Sean, which
Saraceno,
which well, Antonio, yeah, absolutely, yes. Our Tasmaniac,
a few of them.
Our resident Tasmaniac. Thing that excited me, Sean. I'm not sure if you noticed this. There was a certain younger brother of a former academy product that came on and played in the midfield in the second half. The one, Corey Holman, younger brother of Jake.
Version 3.0.
Well, I saw him spray a few passes out to the left to Kucharski, and I'll tell you what, he's got a pass on him.
Yeah.
So he is our next
He's our project.
Boy. Yeah, he's our next fanboy, Corey Holman, coming on. So, no, again, the production line keeps rolling on, Sean. Look, it was always going to be a tough game.
Although we shot ourselves in the foot for the first two goals. We're just fluffing it, not clearing our lines, bit of poor defence, and then United capitalising on that. But the other three goals, especially the one you mentioned at the end, where Chris Payne was just quite gorgeous.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
But look, you know, Talbot, Saracino, Segegic, Jonathan.
Segegic.
That's the one. And Kajasa continue to toil hard and for the young Sky Blues. Look, they'll take their medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a chance to bounce back. We come up against the Northbridge, MacArthur, Ram, Bull, Northbridges.
Yeah, I don't know where from. No, like geography means nothing.
They've even got two logos at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. When you see them, like it'll be, you know, so and so versus them. They've got two logos versus one. I'm like, that's not fair.
Just doesn't make sense. Yeah. So they've had a rough start to the season. They've had one draw, but definitely a winnable game for us against them.
Yeah,
and part of me.
That's on a very special day, Jonathan, on Sunday the 14th.
Ah.
A very special happy birthday to Jonathan on Sunday the 14th.
It must be. It must be.
Yeah, kickoff at 6:30 p.m. over at Rockdale, which is our home ground this season. Haven't played them yet, of course, this season, but without putting the mock and jinxing and whatnot, that's a game that we should take home 3 points with.
I think so, and I think we will.
Mm. And now let's get to the big one on the draw card.
Oh yeah, that A-League thing.
That A-League thing we played against Brisbane over there at Dolphin Stadium.
Yeah.
I put it down here, Jonathan. Tell me if you agree or disagree with these adjectives. Ooh. Underwhelming and unsatisfying.
Ooh.
1-1 draw. Bobo scoring in the 71st minute.
I think
nice cross by
Dolphin. I think they're good words. I think they're well placed words, Sean. Mm. Been a wordsmith. Yeah, I'd find it hard to argue against those. Look, a draw, not the end of the world, but again, when you are us and we're going to sound supremely spoilt and, you know,
not success being used hungry. On the other side
when you haven't won a game in four,
two points from
it's
four.
Worrying. It's starting to get into that area where you're worried. I think I said last week on the pod that I still think we're a top two side. If we continue to play like we are, we're not going to be because we need to score goals. And we need to finish those.
Funny that
chances
with soccer,
that we're
making. We need to score more goals than the other team.
But take us through, Sean, your observations. I watched this game on replay.
Well, I watched it with Andy up at the wonderful Canterbury Helston Park, RSL, taking sponsors. Yeah. And very good Massa Mankari, by the way, as well. And then I watched the mini match back, and when we were playing golf on Sunday, Jono, you said we didn't actually play that badly. And when I watched the mini match back, and I'm like, actually,
we had a lot of chances.
Yeah, I don't know if I would necessarily say we should have taken home 3 points. But yeah, we didn't play as badly as I felt when I first watched the game live. Mm. But again, still 2 points from four games. Standard lineup with Braddon back and Rattray out due to his red card. AC over ABJ. And as you pointed out, good to see young Yaz back.
Mm.
Yaz back on the bench. Paddy. And he was kind of acting as that centre mid cover with no Rattray around.
Yep.
I kind of thought Caceres might have been on the bench to be that centre mid cover. But okay, he started. Things started off quite promising with Costa with an early chance in the 9th minute, but that bloody pain in the ass. I've seen it on Twitter from people. You've mentioned he always seems to have his best games against us.
It's like a Marvel fucking superhero.
Yeah, he's just pulls it out from somewhere. But he's a very good goalkeeper for 60 or whatever. Like he's bloody Jamie Young.
Yeah,
he's very good.
don't like him.
Yeah,
but he's good.
But let's fast forward, Jonathan, to the 18th minute.
Do we have to?
Yes.
We just skip over that.
Do it just like a Band-Aid. Just rip it off.
It's really embarrassing.
Yeah, Andrew Redmayne.
Redders,
mate. I love
you. Come on, man. yeah. Look, as we said, we do love Redders, but that's almost unforgivable, isn't it? I'll forgive him because it's Andrew Redmayne, but. You don't, yeah, we don't, again, sounding spoilt, sounding very Sydney FC, but we don't, we can't have those errors, right? That's just not something you expect to see from from our club, especially the last few years. We've been blessed with absolute weapons in front of goal. Redders has been off. We've spoken about this. Redders has been off for a few weeks now. Little fumbles, you know, even in the derby at ANZ where he sort of half came out for that cross and just completely mistimed
it. Bit of poor decision making.
Yeah, I
don't know if you put it down to being a new dad and all that. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Not that I'd know anything about that.
No, but look, I said something similar last year for Costa when his daughter was born and you know, it can and it would affect.
It's been a bloody long labour then now, Jonathan.
Yeah, change your well, yeah.
Is there another one we just don't know about?
Maybe. She might not be a good sleeper. but yeah, I don't know. He just seems a little bit bereft of confidence and that's not going to help at all. Yeah. Look, you know, he's got, like Corica, Sean, he's got credit in the bank. Redders. I don't think his position's in under threat or anything. If there's another, you know, another couple of mistakes like that, he could find himself, you know, on the pine for a week or two.
I would pick Pavlesic over Tommy Heward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having seen him a bit last year.
Yeah. I think other than Trent and Callum in the ACL, he was like my third favourite player, even though he played one and a bit before he did his collarbone.
Good looking shot stopper. Not dissimilar to Jamie Young style, I think, in terms of shot stopping ability. And again, despite us conceding five in the NPL on the weekend, he made some very good saves as well, reactionary saves. Like I said, I don't think Redders' spot's in trouble just yet. But as with Costa, it can't go on for much longer. No. Really can't. Otherwise, you know, Corica's job could be at stake and someone's got to fall. He's got to protect his job. Again, I'm not saying it is right now, but yeah, if things don't improve.
Well, speaking of Costa, in the 22nd minute, we had Anthony Caceres just throw up his hands a bit.
Oh, what a chance, though.
He, you know, as Anthony has done in recent weeks and past, he kind of cuts back in, dances across the 18-yard box looking for something, whether it be a shot or, and in this case, a nice little through ball, and he just put Costa on a plate. Nice position by Costa. He was poorly marked, or not marked at all.
Yeah.
Opens up the hips and, look, I know it's easier said than done, and I play football and, you know, you get in front of goal and, I've crapped my pants before, someone of his calibre and what he's getting paid and in those positions, you got to put those away.
You do.
Yeah.
It sort of reminds me a bit, Sean, of a bit of classic 12th man, Billy Brownless. Yeah. Not Billy Brownless, Billy Birmingham. And it, you know, it's like, oh, Greg Norman, great golf shot. He gets within 30 centimeters of the hole. Surely he can't stuff it up from here. And Costa Barbarousis went to completely fuck up the shot and lose the game. It's like he's getting on the end of all of these moves and just can't.
I don't know. It's a confidence. I don't know. But
those goals against the Knicks a few weeks ago, you couldn't have been more confident.
Yeah.
The way that he took the ball and just finished those off.
Could have carried on. It hasn't carried on with that.
What is it? I don't know what it is. It's you know, Stevie Corica came out again and came to his defence today. It can't continue for much longer. We'll go through our predicted lineups a bit later on for
he's our starting, Western he's United, our striker, he's our Alfie this year. And he's not doing what he's primarily, what he is in the team to do.
Yeah. He's getting the service.
Yeah.
He's making the runs more often than not.
But his touch and his eye for goal to put that ball in the back, it's just not there.
It's just not there.
It's quite absent. Paddy Wood, he got pulled off at half time. I thought he was quite decent in the first half. He had a nice shot in the 44th minute just before half time. And again, it's Jamie Young bloody pushes it wide and parries it. What else happened in the game? Oh, Speaking of chances, let's fast forward to the 50th minute, and Wilco just couldn't believe it. The corner comes over beyond, you know, the far post. He kind of volleys it back in. Nice little like ninja reactionary, you know, reflex action from McGowan and fucking Jake just Young.
Put his fist in front of his face.
Like, yeah. It's like within, I don't know, 2 meters from each other, and just ninja.
Yeah.
Sixth Sense. Jedi. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Jamie Young.
I think I broke a remote control when I was watching that one. Look, thankfully, Sean, not in the not too distant future, Joel King went striding down the left hand side, or up the left hand side, I should say, and picked out a beautiful ball. We don't see enough of that.
A nice early Joel cross King. Too.
It was a nice early cross to the back stick, and Bobo getting on the end of it. Lovely crouched header, and again, it was not easy. That was not an easy chance by any means. Just got in the right position to head it back to where it came from. It's good to have Bobby back.
Yeah,
Aussie Bob. And I dare say we'll see him starting this week.
You reckon? Okay. Bobo versus Bershot. But then Denzaki, who I thought had a very good game and embarrassed King on more than one occasion, nearly pulled our pants down if it weren't for the woodwork.
Was it Denzaki or was it the other Japanese fellow they had?
Oh, they all look the same. No, yeah. I shouldn't say that. Sean, bad. You're off yellow card. I think it was Denzaki.
Yeah, okay. But he should have scored. I think when I spoke to you, Sean, on Sunday, you sort of said, you know, draw is probably a fair result.
Yeah, I think so. Look, some couple of things I would say Twitter warriors, but people get upset and they're passionate about the club, and they jumped online and they start asking about the club, asking about the team.
Mm-hmm.
One question that was put forward was, where's the area of concern?
Okay.
And Magic Milos, who's quite the voice of reason, you know, is you know, midfield's not the issue because we are creating. The defence, I guess we could tighten up a little bit, but look how we concede on the weekend. Was just a mistake by Reuters, and he'd put his hand up for that. It's just finishing. We're not going to get we're not going to get Alfie back anytime soon.
No.
I'd like to think
it's not happening.
So for me, I think we've got to work with what we've got, which is still plenty of talent and quality. Absolutely. There. So this
we've still let's be clear, we have the roster to win the competition.
Absolutely.
We're just not showing it right now, but we absolutely have the roster. We don't need Max Burgess to come in and add more firepower. We've got enough. I think everyone was saying how stacked our bench was, you know, with our best 11 at the start of the year. You know, and that was before even Bobo came.
Showed up.
It's just finding that right combination. Some of the other A-League clubs having similar issues with you know, maybe having too many attacking players, too many similar players, you know, not enough difference. They've got to find that right formula to unlock it. And that's, you know, that's Stevie's job. That's Corica's job. That's
getting the Robbie best Stan's out of his job. Player. Yeah.
You know, they've got to make some tough decisions and change things up. But, you know, it's a good test for Steve Corica.
Like you said, we've got the roster, we've got the quality, we've got the team to win a Premier's Plate and Championship once again. But we're not going to run out and try and buy a player in the next transfer window or something like that. So we've got to work what we've got, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think the formation and or tactics need to change to be able to get the best out of. And as I think with Sky Views said, we shouldn't be building the attack around Costa. I don't know if we necessarily are, but kind of focusing in on him, and that's why I think like maybe a front three, or a, like your favorite 4-2-3-1, and having those three behind him, but just maybe take the pressure off him, something like that.
Be bloody exciting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, I did like the subs at halftime though.
Yeah. We, you know, for all the criticism that we do pile on Stevie sometimes, it's good to see a reaction. I don't, as you said, I don't know about Paddy Wood as well as Costa, but obviously he wants Bobo and Swibs to work in tandem. And again, Swibble didn't do a terrible job, Sean.
I think he's not far away from him starting.
Mm.
I don't want him to, because that would mean the other guys aren't doing well, and I want them to do well. Mm. I want us to get the 3 points. But Geordie's coming on and doing quite a very good job, and you reckon we'll see Bobo start on Wednesday?
I do, yeah. I think you'll see a Costa-Bobo combination to see how that plays out. I think that was the same lineup as we started with City.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't work. So something will have to be a bit different for that game, for those guys to get the service, because in that game, I mean, City were very good, but Costa and Bobby didn't. They just didn't get the service.
Yeah. Who's Sean for you though? Like, we've been a little bit critical.
Brisbane game.
Yeah.
If we do the SFC,
do that.
I actually thought Ryan McGowan came up big a couple of times.
Mm.
I thought Luke Bratton was very good. I thought he was everywhere. He was a bit, got back to his old everyman everywhere days.
Mm.
He sort of popped up all over the field. Set pieces could use a bit of work, but again, I get it's hard to criticise on that. But so I would have given McGowan 2, Bratz 2. I think I also then gave, Bobo 1 and someone else 1. I can't remember who it was though.
It could have been Ninko.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go 2 each for Wilco and McGowan,
mm-hmm.
1 for Ninko, 1 for Bobo.
Nice. Yeah. God, frustrating. Very frustrating.
I can cop a draw, but I just want to win.
We need to win.
We need 3 points.
And with that, let's talk about the Western United game.
Okay. So if you're listening to us, it's tonight at Netstrata, Wednesday, 10th of March. Kickoff at 7:05 p.m. So, nice way to spend the midweek.
Yeah.
We haven't played with each other this year, but they are sitting right underneath our ass at the moment.
The game in hand.
Yep.
The game in hand. And this is the first of 3 home games in a row, Sean, is that right?
Yeah. So, look, if there's any time to get 9 points, it's now.
God, that'd be nice.
Now. Predicted lineup, Jonathan. How do you see this?
Yeah, so I said I think changes for me.
Start from the back.
Redders. I can't see the back changing. Mm-hmm. I can't see the back changing at all. I think we'll then see Paolo's back, so it could be a Paolo Bratton combination with Callum off the bench. Corrick is clearly doesn't want him to play 90 minutes
yet
every week.
Okay.
So I think you'll see a little bit of rotation there, although he did come off early against Brisbane, didn't he? So
and Caceres dropped in, yeah.
So potentially there, you might see a Bratton-Paolo combination, or does Paolo pay for his rash challenge? We'll see. And then up front, I don't know if this is just because reminiscing, but I'd like to see Alexander start. And when I say reminiscing, that brilliant game he had against Western United the first time we met them a couple of years ago,
corresponding game last season.
So it could be an ABJ Ninko combination, and then Acosta Bobo up front. I just think with that front four, if we can't score goals,
there's something inherently wrong.
Beyond wrong.
I do like Anthony coming off the bench because he adds a little bit more. He is different to ABJ in that he's
busy.
He's a bit more busier, a bit more. He's got a bit more of an eye for goal. I think he's got more of a goal in him than ABJ does. ABJ likes to service people.
Yep.
Yeah.
And does it very, very well.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very well. So, okay.
How about for yourself? What do you think? Any drastic changes?
Four will stay the same. Red is there. He's got a thing for Retre.
Mm.
Corica likes Retre. So, okay, Retre will come in.
I think Paolo earned his stripes last year.
He's fresh, with the time off that he's had. Will he do Ninko ABJ, Ninko Caceres? But I think ABJ will start. I'll be interesting to see what the front is. I think Bobo. My head's saying Bobo, but maybe a Costa Geordie.
I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind that at all. Again, Paddy Wood hasn't done much wrong, but maybe just try something else. Mm. But as I said, I mean, if we do get what I suggested with Bam Johan, Ninkovic, two of the best passes and, you know, timers of a pass.
Yep.
In the league with Costa and Bobo up front, God, you'd hope we scored a few goals, not just one. It'll be...
Do you reckon Western United are travelling better than their position at the moment?
I thought so, but they were fairly average against a very average Wanderers side the other night. My concern for them, and this could come back and bite me in the ass, but I think Berisha and Diamante both played close to 90 minutes on Sunday. And to back up on Wednesday, having to travel up here.
He wasn't a happy man, Berisha.
No, he wasn't. So I don't know if they'll play another full 90. Either one of them might start on the bench and come on. I think Diamante tends to start every game, so I dare say he'll start. He also likes Cogra, if you remember. I think they played the Wanderers at Cogra during the COVID break last year, and he just absolutely
destroyed,
tore them to shreds. So it'll be interesting there, but again, they're not they're similar to us. They're not really clicking right now. But I think you're right, Sean. I think their position's probably a little bit underwhelming when you look at how they've been playing.
And then, funnily enough, we also have another game on Saturday, 13th of March, 5:05 kickoff again at Netstrata. Second of three games to be played there in the next week. Look, we won't go into great detail about it because who knows what happens with the Western United game, touchwood, suspensions, injuries, and the rest, and just the performance of their overall team. But I don't want to put the mock on us, and I don't want it to come. But we're versing teams over the next three games.
That's right.
That are all below us.
That's right. The only three teams. Wellington.
Yeah. Wellington. If there's any time you're playing at home and you're playing three of the four teams below you, now's the time to get maximum 9 points.
And Max as well.
Yeah.
Big Max.
Oh, I want the Big Max, Jonathan.
I know. Maximum points and Big Max.
Yeah.
Come on.
I told Mum about it and she's like, so that means you can go to multiple McDonald's and get more big. I'm like, yes.
If you're desperate.
She's like, all right. So.
If you're desperate. Okay.
I want a Big Mac.
I know. Just come on, guys.
Just a Big Mac. Just give me it, and then I'll get my chocolate sundae and fries myself.
You're 100% right, Sean. I'm fairly, I'm the optimistic one. So I reckon we'll get 3 from 3 wins.
Okay.
We'll talk about
starting
that.
Starting the run.
We'll talk about the start of the run. I reckon we didn't do score predictions for the Western United game, did we?
No, we didn't. Let's go.
Seeing as I got it right last week, yes. Yeah. What do you reckon, Sean?
Yeah. Well, with that front four,
yes,
we should have definitely goals.
Picking. Yeah.
I'm going to say 3-1 to us.
Yeah, I will say 3-0.
Okay. I'm going to say their one goal will be a consolation.
Ooh. Nice.
That's how specific I am. And I Jets, so. I don't know, but I'll say 3 points.
Who knows? They beat us last time we played them, surprisingly, but we do have a very, very good record against them. On the flip side, Sean, bit of a hypothetical situation, which is really, really negative and unlike me. If Sydney don't take any points from the next three games, do you see us making a dramatic decision as a club?
In terms of leadership? Are we going to go there so soon?
Let's not. Let's do it in the future.
No. Let's,
we're going to be good.
Cross that bridge. If
we're going to be good.
Not when, but if we ever come to it.
Yeah. I
doubt it. But
I don't think so either. No. I think he's got credit in the bank.
For, yeah, much like
Klopp and the like. I thought we'd appease some people out there that... think it's time.
We'll start a poll.
No, I don't think so. No. We won't turn up to training with a barrier and cross a line.
Cross the line.
Yeah. I don't think we're quite there yet. No. All right. Anything else from you, Sean, as we wrap up this episode of the podcast? Sorry, everyone, you had to put up with just Sean and I tonight. I hope we thoroughly entertained you. It's been good fun as we've had.
Meatloaf said 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Oh, exactly. And on that note, we will talk to you all next week. Thanks for tuning in once again.